You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Today on Wings. You can only understand the full picture by going there. Renowned freelance journalist Victoria Roschina lived by that motto, managing to get into many places she was not wanted, to ask probing questions and collect verified facts. In 2023, she crossed into Russian-occupied regions of Ukraine, following up allegations that around 16,000 missing civilians were being tortured in unofficial detention centers. She became one of those ghost detainees, first in occupied Ukraine and then in Russia.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Ursula Rudenberg produces Ukraine 242, a weekly series from the U.S.-based Pacifica Radio Network. In June 2025, her guest was Sevgil Musayeva, editor-in-chief of major media outlet Ukrainska Pravda. They talked about freelance reporter Victoria Roschina, whose body has been returned to the Ukraine. Warning, some of the facts are disturbingly grim.
Victoria Roschina was a young Ukrainian journalist who's recognized as a national hero by her peers. She was the only journalist who would actually go to the occupied territories to report on the conditions there. She was captured and imprisoned by Russian authorities, and she died in captivity sometime between 2023 and 2024. To learn about her, I was fortunate to be able to speak with another distinguished Ukrainian journalist, her former editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda, the primary Ukrainian online news media. Sevgil Musayeva is herself a renowned journalist known for her work and activism. Please be advised, Victoria's story includes terrible details of cruelty, suffering, and torture. It is an important story, but tragic and horrifying, so please listen at your discretion. It should also be said that Sevgil gave this interview after a sleepless night in Kyiv. The city was subjected to hours of drones, bombs, and missile attacks. Russia has turned its attention to escalating attacks on civilian targets in an attempt to terrorize the Ukrainian population into submission. This, coupled with propaganda against President Zelensky, portraying him as an unelected dictator with whom the Russians cannot negotiate. On the night of the 17th alone, 500 drones attacked civilian buildings. Russia has moved some of its drone production to North Korea to evade Ukrainian attacks on drone factories, with the expressed goal of sending 1,000 drones to Ukraine per night. Thus, it is with appreciation that I was able to speak with Sevgil Musayeva and offer this recording on Ukraine 242.
Hi, my name is Sevgil Musayeva. I'm chief editor of Ukrainska Pravda. Ukrainska Pravda is the leading Ukrainian newspaper, one of the first one in our country, and source of information about Ukraine. On a political agenda, on news about society, and of course, reporting about the war since the war started in 2014. And I'm 11 years as a chief editor with this media.
Can you talk a little bit about the role that your media group plays?
Among Ukrainians and among foreign journalists and foreign media and the governments of different countries, Ukrainska Pravda is the most popular media that covers this war.
And you publish in English as well as Ukrainian?
Yes, we have an English version, we have Ukrainian and Russian.
And please say Victoria's name so that I'm sure I pronounced that correctly as well.
Victoria Roschina. She was a freelancer of Ukrainska Pravda since 2022. Actually, she joined us as a freelancer from the start of full-scale invasion.
So you were her editor? So
yes, I was Victoria's editor for 2 years.
Uh-huh. If you would, can you help us know a little bit who she was? What did you know about her that made it possible for her to be so courageous?
She was obsessed with journalism. She doesn't have friends in her life. She doesn't have relations. She was only dedicated to serving people.
Was she a good reporter?
She was a very good reporter. She worked 24/7. At the same time, sometimes she could be rude because she sometimes could be unhappy with some correction you made in her text. So she fought for her text. Sometimes she can say that she will never publish in Ukrainska Pravda because some correction. And from her text depends the future of this world.
So she was a challenging employee.
Yeah, she was. She was absolutely unique and talented. Again, I'm... Oof.
You miss her.
Of course. Of course I miss her. Even when I was sometimes angry, she was absolutely beautiful creature.
What do you feel that you would like to say about her or about journalism in Ukraine to the people listening to this?
The war is still going on in Ukraine. And Ukrainians still pay the high price just for the right to exist. And the work of journalists is extremely important during this time.
Why do you do it?
Why? Because this is my profession and this is my country, first of all. And when it's war in your country, you have to just cover it and to gather all these evidences, to gather all these war crimes. And this is not even about reporting. This is about protecting your own history for the future.
How dangerous is it for you to be a journalist?
It's dangerous when you cover the war in the frontline cities, but, you know, it's dangerous for every Ukrainian. We are speaking now after a terrible attack last night. It was insane attack. Last night in Kyiv and outskirts, the enemy used 175 drones, over 14 cruise missiles, and at least 2 ballistic missiles. It was insane attack.
Okay, well, this is a terrible story to tell, but it's very important. Tell us what happened.
Yes, absolutely. Victoria was absolutely brave, one of the most bravest journalists that I met in my career. And actually, she focused on covering war crimes, but not only from Ukraine's territory, but also territories occupied by Russia since 2014 and since 2022.
She reported on Mariupol. Is that correct?
Yes. She came to Mariupol when Mariupol was already occupied by Russians.
Uh-huh. And at that time, she was able to leave again, and then she was able to report on what she saw?
Yes. And she reported from Crimea, and she reported from different cities, from Melitopol, Mariupol, Energodar. And in 2023, she traveled 3 times to these territories.
Tell us just what happened.
So Victoria was the only journalist who was brave enough to travel to the occupied territories and cover actually what is happening in occupied territory. This is important because, again, I want to repeat it, this is dangerous. And she was captured in March 2022, and she spent around 10 days in Russian captivity. And then, with the thanks of different people, we were able to release her. And even after this terrible experience, she said many, many times that she will continue to do that because she's the only one journalist who can do that.
Can you explain that a little bit, what she meant by that?
She meant by that that the coverage of the occupied territory is very important because Ukrainian people actually stay in these occupied territories. But there is no rule of law in these territories. And you will be not able to tell to any journalist what happens with you. And after the occupation of these territories, unfortunately, a lot of human rights violation took place that actually Russian authorities used against civilians. So she covered also, for example, illegal referendum that took place in 2022.
When the occupied areas were supposedly voting to become part of Russia.
Yes, yes, yes. So she covered how political life has changed, economic life has changed, what people are thinking about these new conditions.
She felt that the stories of what was happening to people inside the occupation was important to continue.
Yes, absolutely. And then the last time she traveled to the occupied territories in July 2023, she went to Melitopol and Energodar Ukrainian cities that are now under Russian control.
When Victoria was in the occupied area, was she able to get any information to you? Was she able to do any reporting before she was captured?
No, unfortunately,
we don't know.
Because when she traveled to occupied territory, she just disappeared. Because, you know, it's very dangerous to have a communication with someone when you are in occupied territory. So she cleaned all her emails. She used different phone numbers due to security reasons. And then she was captured by Russian officers. And she was illegally detained first in Melitopol. And then she was moved to Taganrog jail, which is known as Russian Guantanamo. And unfortunately...
It's Russian what?
Guantanamo. Guantanamo.
Oh, Guantanamo. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she spent more than 1 year.
When you say it was the Russian Guantanamo, you're saying she was being held without any real charges?
Without any legal charges and with violation of human rights, with tortures. Unfortunately, what we know about the conditions in this prison is terrible. A lot of civilians were beaten by officers of this jail. Different torture that took place in this prison. Electric chair, for example, baths with cold water. Then you can be attacked by the dogs of these prisons. So a lot of terrible things took place in this prison. Actually, Victoria spent first few months in Melitopol, and as we know, she was tortured in Melitopol by electric shock, for example. We know that she was beaten by the officers of this prison, and then when she was moved to Taganrog, she actually started her hunger strike. And what we acknowledged after our investigation that her weight in August 2023 was around 30 kilos.
We do pounds.
66
uh-huh.
pounds.
Okay, so she was very thin.
Yeah, she was very, very thin.
Mm-hmm. How old was she at this time?
She was 26 years old. She turned 27 only in October last year when she actually died. She died in captivity. It happened in September 2024.
So my understanding was that you lost track of her in August of 2023, right? After she had gone into the occupied area?
Yes, yes.
And when did you get confirmation that she had actually died?
We received a confirmation. So the father received a letter from Minister of Defense of Russia only in October 2024. And it was only one sentence. We just want to inform you that Victoria Roshina died in September 19th, and we will send her body to Ukraine in the nearest future.
You're listening to Wings with content from Ukraine 242.
This is Ukraine 242. I'm Ursula Rudenberg at Pacifica Radio Network, speaking with Savgil Misayeva, editor-in-chief of Ukrainska Pravda, the primary online Ukrainian news media group. She's telling us about Victoria Roshina, the Ukrainian journalist who made it her mission to go to the occupied territories and bring back the stories of the Ukrainians who are living there under Russian rule. She was a recipient of the International Women's Media Foundation's 2022 Courage in Journalism Award. Roshina disappeared in August of 2023 and in October 2024 was confirmed to have died in Russian detention. Victoria's family was told by Russian authorities that her body would be returned in the near future. As it turned out, they sort of did, but not really.
Content advisory.
Actually, the body was delivered to Ukraine only this year, in February, but it was labeled as unnamed man. And actually, there were no signs that this is a body of Victoria Roshina. This body was received among 757 bodies of Ukrainian combatants that died in Ukraine's Russia war. And then when the body was received, the forensic experts understood that it was a body not of dead man, but dead woman. And then they made a DNA test, and the DNA test showed 99% that this is the body of Victoria. But we're still waiting for French experts because the family of Victoria still doesn't believe that this is her body, because the body was delivered in a terrible condition. You can imagine, though, she died in September. The body was received in February, already in a bad condition, already mummified with the sign of tortures. And also parts of the organs were absent. The eyeballs were absent. Part of the brain was absent, and part of the throat was absent.
So presumably she wasn't recognizable.
Yes, she was absolutely not recognizable. And actually, when I spoke to her dad 1 month ago, he still doesn't believe that this is the body of his daughter. And he said this is the most terrible thing he saw in his life.
I apologize for the gruesome question, but the eyes missing and the throat missing, what does that mean?
Actually, there's still no answer to this question. Some experts told us maybe the Russians wanted to hide the cause of death. Probably she was tortured before she died. Maybe she died after asphyxia.
So she was strangled.
Yes. But again, this is just theory. We don't have an answer. And actually, this is not something that happened only to the body of Victoria, because after we acknowledged that, we also received information from security service of Ukraine that unfortunately the other body that were delivered to Ukraine also, like, the parts of the organs were missing.
So the organs missing, does this mean that bodies are being harvested for organs?
I don't think so, actually.
So why are organs missing?
I think that they just wanted to hide a crime.
Uh-huh. So what has happened now to this body?
Unfortunately, because of Ukrainian legislation, before the father and mother recognize his body as the body of Victoria Roshina, we even not be able to bury this body. Right. So that's why we're still waiting for international expertise, and body is still in morgue of German prosecutor office, who are actually responsible for this investigation.
Mm-hmm. It has been confirmed that she died. Was there any sort of memorial service for her?
No.
So nothing has really been completed?
No.
So that's very difficult for everybody who loved her.
Yes, it is.
Wow, so
Actually, even me, I still have hope that maybe it's kind of a big mistake. It's still difficult to realize that something like that could happen with a journalist in 21st century.
Yeah. I'm assuming that there has not been a memorial service for Victoria because her family is not ready to do that.
Yes.
Is there some way that you have personally honored her?
Yes, we have kind of an award of Ukrainska Pravda in different nominations. Journalist of the Year, the Artist of the Year, the Social Project of the Year. Of course, we never gifted our own journalist, but Victoria was an exception. And this year, Victoria was recognized as a Journalist of the Year. And of course, after the official confirmation of her death, we are thinking about maybe providing kind of an award for young journalists, and this award will be named as Victoria Roshina Award. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it would be a fellowship in university for young journalists. But it's possible only after the official confirmation of her death and when the family also confirmed the body.
Are they in favor of an award like that?
When I asked the father last time about it, he cried.
Too soon. Well, thank you so much for telling us Victoria's story. My condolences for a loss of, it sounds like, a friend and an important person.
Again, I want to repeat that she was the only one who reported from the occupied territories and who was able to do that. And it was absolutely brave. She's great. She's legend for Ukrainian journalism. She's the real hero of our profession.
How has her death impacted journalism in Ukraine? What does this do to the rest of you?
I will tell you that, unfortunately, already more than 70 of our colleagues, Ukrainian journalists, died since the start of full-scale invasion. Not only on duty, but also people who joined the Ukrainian army. But for us, it's also casualties for us. More than 10 people died as a journalist. We also turned our attention in the topic of civilians who are in Russian prisons. There are still around 16,000 Ukrainians who are now in Russian prison and in jails in occupied territories.
Who are these people?
Just civilians. You can be arrested just because you speak Ukrainian, you use Ukrainian flag, for example, or you posted something in your social media. And when you leave in occupation, you can be tortured even after that. So I will explain why. When Russia occupies the city, she wants to build a new regime. She wants to build a new legacy. That's why they do that. And the Russian authorities want to clean up the city and society of the city from any people who have a different position. For example, people who want to support Ukraine or could organize some protest. So I will say that what they do, actually, the tortures is a part of Russian occupation machine. And what else? The death of Victoria has changed. It also reminded us that there are still 28 Ukrainian journalists who are in Russian captivity. Victoria is the first Ukrainian journalist who died in Russian captivity. Yes, and we have to do everything possible to save our other colleagues.
Who are they? How did they end up in captivity?
In absolutely different way. So some of them were arrested before the full-scale invasion. For example, Irina Danilovich, who is a civil journalist, she lived in Crimea and she filmed some protests and courts against Crimean Tatars, and then she was arrested. And Dmytro Khalyuk, who is our colleague, he was arrested and detained by Russian soldiers in his house in Kyiv in March 2022, when the Kyiv campaign started.
When they tried to invade?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And he already spent more than 3 years in Russian captivity. Anastasia Glukhovskaya, she's a journalist from Melitopol, and she was captured in 2023. Because she was among journalists of Telegram channel that covered the war in occupied Melitopol.
And are you able to track these people? Do you know where they are?
No, unfortunately, we don't. We know that, for example, Dmytro Khalyuk, he is in Pakino. Pakino is a Vladimir region, not far from Moscow. We know that he was moved between different jails during these 3 years. And you know that he's already in very terrible condition. He also lost his weight. And that's why I'm asking now everyone in Europe, in the United States, it's some politician, ask Russia to release Ukrainian journalists because journalism is not a crime. But still, it doesn't work.
So please repeat again what you're asking people to do.
I'm asking to do everything possible to release those people, to release Ukrainian journalists who are in Russian captivity, because journalism is not a crime. Those people did their work. Actually, Dmytro Khalyuk was taken as a civilian from his house during the occupation.
So based on what happened to Victoria, you obviously are fearing that these people are also being subjected to torture.
Yes, and we have to do everything possible to save our colleagues. They were tortured. And they are in danger.
Well, thank you for taking time to speak with me. It's so important to hear. I mean, it's easy for me to say, right? I don't have bombs falling on my house. But what we so appreciate is the willingness of so many Ukrainians to speak with us and to talk about what's happening and to have people who can communicate so well with us.
Thank you. Thank you for that. After this night, this is important to hear.
You're in Kyiv.
Yeah. You know, we are speaking after a terrible attack last night. It was insane attack. I just want to mention again how many drones last night in Kyiv and outskirts, the enemy used 175 drones of our 14 cruise missiles and at least 2 ballistic missiles. Already 10 people confirmed as a died and more than 100 people confirmed as a wounded. More than 175 drones in Kyiv and 14 missiles for one city. So, I mean, insane.
Yeah.
You know, any air defense system in any country will not be able to stop this attack.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous. Of course, we are tired because, you know, sleepless nights already for 3 years. But, you know, actually, I just want to say that after 3 years and already kind of different bad experiences, you think that this is something that you can be able to just to think that it's normal.
Yeah.
But last 2 weeks were something that I can just even explain. When during 4 hours of night, you hear these explosions and different sounds, and this is very close, and then you see fires from your window in different parts of the city. This is something kind of an Armageddon, I will say.
Yeah.
What is good in this terrible attack that next night probably will be safe and will be silent.
So after a bad night, then they've used up all their rockets for a while and then it's quiet.
Mm-hmm. Hope so. I'm not sure.
It's always a source of amazement how you can still share this and, you know, keep your sanity. I think it's just incredible. So thank you.
Thank you, Ursula. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Have a good evening. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Many thanks to our guest, Sevgil Mazayeva, editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda, the primary Ukrainian online news media. Ukrainska Pravda can be found online at pravda.com.ua. That's pravda.com.ua. And to get the English version, you can also add a / and then ENG. Musayeva is herself a renowned journalist known for her work and activism well before taking her position as editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda. She was named by Time magazine as one of their top 100 most influential people of 2022. From Crimea, she was an initiator of creating the Crime SOS web portal. She was Victoria Roshina's editor-in-chief at Ukrainska Pravda. It was an honor to be able to hear about their work firsthand. On our part, this week's program is intended as recognition of those people in the occupied territories, the truly voiceless, and as a tribute to Victoria Roshina's courageous efforts to give them a voice. And I am Ursula Rudenberg at Pacifica Radio Network. Thank you for listening to Ukraine 242.
Thanks to Ursula and Pacifica for sharing this program with Wings. There are photos and videos of Victoria Roshchina online. Her first name, Victoria, is spelled in various ways, but her last name is Roshchina. After the revelation of Victoria Roshchina's death in 2024, 45 journalists formed a research consortium in her honor. Their report on the 29 Russian torture prisons and the major figures who control them can be found at forbiddenstories.org. Ursula Rudenberg's weekly program, Ukraine 242, is distributed by the Pacifica Radio Network and is widely podcast. Wings thanks our supporters, including Pacifica Radio Network, your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be viewed at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings Sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.